Hi, everybody. Yeah, it's good to be with you to worship the Lord together. Today, I'm going to focus on Nehemiah chapter 12, from verse 27 to 43. If the back can help us to show the slide. But if you have a Bible, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 12, from verse 27 to 43. Shall we read together? Also, bear in mind that in this passage, there are a lot of names in the Bible that are very difficult to pronounce because they are Jewish names. So just pardon my English. And if you could just read along with me, let's read together, starting from verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the district surrounding Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, also from Beth Galgal and from the region of Geba and Asmava, for the singers have built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. And the angels and the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. One went to the south on the wall to the Dung Gate, and after them went Hoshiah and half of the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets. Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, son of Mattathiah, son of Micaiah, son of Zachar, son of Asa, and his relatives, Shemaiah, Azariah, Milalai, Gilalai, Maimaiah, Nathanai, Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And Ezra the scribe went before them. At the fountain gate, they went up straight before them by the stairs of the city of David at the accent of the wall above the house of David to the water gate on the east. The other choir of those who gave thanks went to the north, and I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the tower of the ovens to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim and by the gate of Yeshanah and by the fish gate and the tower of Hananel and a tower of the hundred to the ship gate, and they came to a halt at the gate of the guard. So both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, and I and half of the officials with me, and the priests Eliakim, Messiah, Meniamin, Micaiah, Eliana, Zechariah, and Hananiah, with trumpets, and Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Elisa, Isa, Jehohanan, Malkai, Elam, and Isa. And the singers sang with Jeshaiah in as the leader, and they offered great sacrifice that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you that this morning, as we read the passage, that Nehemiah and all his people dedicated themselves to you because you have helped them to rebuild the wall, to restore the hope to them. In the same way, we ask that this morning, as we hear your word, that you will speak to us, that you will restore hope in our lives and our community, so that we will be the light that shines in this community, in this world for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, from this passage, this is really a dedication service to the Lord for what he has helped them to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And from this dedication service, when you read the whole passage, actually, you know, there are a lot of principles that we can learn from this passage. But I particularly just single out four principles that God wants us to learn together as a community. And one is the dedication to the Lord requires purity or holiness in our life. And secondly, dedication to God also involves worship, with music, with singing, with thanksgiving, with praise. And then thirdly, dedication to the Lord results in great joys in the Lord and among ourselves. And finally, dedication to God bears a testimony, a witness to the world around us. Before we go into this passage, you may ask, what is the timing of this event for the dedication? If you remember the past weeks and months that both passed away and also Minister Randall and some other pastors have been leading you through the book of Nehemiah. And probably you might say, well, when it came to chapter 6, then really we find that the Lord helped them to finish rebuilding the wall in 52 days. And how come it didn't really start any celebration until this chapter? In between chapter 6, or actually at the end of chapter 6 and beginning of chapter 7, all the way to this passage, there are a lot of passages or chapters that God really told the people that you need to prepare yourself before you dedicate yourself to me. And, you know, what are kind of the preparation that we have seen throughout those chapters? You have seen in chapter 7 that the Jews, Nehemiah wanted the Jews to be separated, you know, from the worldly people, those neighbors around them who not only oppose to the law of God, but they basically oppose the people, oppose the great God, Jehovah. And so Nehemiah wanted them to separate from these people. And then secondly, in chapter 8 to chapter 9, we also saw that Nehemiah warned the people to confess their sin before God. And then really asking the scribe, Ezra, to come up, to open up the Word of God, to preach to them, to show them the Word of God, how God wanted them to conduct their life according to His law, not according to the people around them. And then in chapter 10, after listening to the sermon from Ezra, people were convicted. So Nehemiah wanted the people, Ezra wanted the people to make a commitment, make a covenant before the Lord, that they would be obedient to the Word of God, obedient to the law of God. That is very important, because now you got the wall, you got the temple, you are my people. You need to listen to the great God, Jehovah. And then, as a result, also in chapter 11 and at the beginning of chapter 12, Nehemiah really separated the people, identified the people who belong to God. Who are the people who are the sons of God? Who are the children of God? Who are the armies of God? Who are in God's community? So Nehemiah brought up an accurate list of the people who are God's people, from chapter 11 all the way to the beginning of chapter 12, especially about the priests, about those people who serve the Lord. And now it comes to the middle part of chapter 12. They are ready to do the dedication ceremony. And the one last thing, but the most important thing that they have to do, is to purify themselves before the Lord. And that's what it starts in this dedication. You know, so really, this is the preparation. And the most important thing to prepare is to be holy, to be purified. And that's what that verse is saying. And the priests and the Levites purify themselves and to purify the people and the gates and the wall. I'm sure you probably have attended a lot of ceremony in the past. Graduation ceremony, wedding ceremony. You know, those ceremonies probably take only a couple hours. But that requires a lot of preparation, weeks and months ahead before the ceremony begins. The same goes to a dedication ceremony before the Lord, the great God Jehovah. And the most important thing, the last thing that they have to do is to purify themselves. Because in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2 says, God said that, you know, you are holy, I'm holy, so you as my people must be holy. So when they dedicate themselves before the Lord, they acknowledge that we are dedicating ourselves to the great holy Jehovah God. So I need to purify myself. So this verse particularly say, before the ceremony, God wants them to be purified, to be holy, to get rid of all the things that are not pleasing to God. And I still remember way back during the college years, many, many years ago, I don't want to say, you know, maybe like almost close to 40-some years ago. I was involved in the Billy Graham Crusade as a follow-up team. So I went through the training. And during the training, one day, or actually the last day of that training, before the crusade, actually Reverend Billy Graham came to talk to us. And he gave us this couple of verses. But before he said that, he told us a story of his and his staff. He said that when he was called by God to be dedicated to God for the service, his heart was moved. But then there was one thing that really convicted him before he entered into the service. And that is holiness. He felt like that I am serving a holy, a pure God. And I need to be holy. That thought really convicted him so much that he, before he started the Billy Graham Crusade, he got up and with a couple of his staff, went to the elevator, and then he told his staff, he said, purity, integrity, holiness are so important in my life, in your life, as an organization, in this world, because God is holy. We got to be separated or set apart for God. He said that, because there are a lot of impure things around us. And say, we got to dedicate ourselves to this. And I say, I want to commit myself to be holy, to be pure. You know, I don't want Ruth is my only wife. And I can only look at her. I cannot look at other women. When I go out to the crusade, I will meet so many people. I might counsel a lot of women, but don't hold me accountable so that I won't go there alone. But rather, you will be with me. You know, purity, holiness are so much important in our life. And he asked his staff to pray with him and pray for him. And he said, throughout his years, he find indeed Satan used impure thoughts, impure surrounding, impure people to try to penetrate into his life, into his ministry, into everything around it. And then he finally say, let me show you this phrase. When you sow something, you will reap something. And he used an illustration, just like I say, because he was raised in North Carolina. He said, well, North Carolina, you still have some farming. If you sow, you know, a seed of, you know, watermelon, you will not reap a cantaloupe. You will always reap the same thing, the watermelon. So in the same way, if you sow impure thoughts, you will reap impure actions. The more you think about, like for example, if you want, say for example, go to a college, you sow a thought of trying to drink, oh, a couple beers, the more you think about it, eventually you reap an action, you will do it. The more you do it, it becomes a habit. When the habit overrule you, it ruins your character. And then your character will determine your destiny. Is that true? That's what he told our whole team as a follow-up team. And this is so important that as I heard him say that during the follow-up team, it comes back to this passage. Now what? When Nehemiah and the Levites, the priests, want the people to be purified before the Lord because they know they are serving a holy God. So, in the same way, I will ask you the same question. Are you prepared to live a holy life, a pure life for the Lord? What kinds of preparation do you plan to have a holy life, a pure life before the Lord? Of course, some of you may be so young that you think, well, it doesn't matter. But you may be prepared to go to college some days. And then at college, to go to working and then having a family. Are you prepared? When you dedicate your life to the Lord, the first thing you need to have is to be purified, to be set apart for the Lord. Are you prepared? And then the second thing, during this dedication, we find out that this dedication involved worship with singing, with music, with praise and thanksgiving. Everybody are involved are so happy. It says that at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, with harps and lyres. In fact, they even brought back the godly man David's musical instruments. They remember what David had done. So they want to worship in the same way. Wow, dedication really involves singing, just like what we did, you know, during the service. We sing praise and thanksgiving to God. Why? Because God is a faithful God. God deserves our praise and our honor and our glory. I have two daughters. When I have my daughter, you know, I basically was full of joy. And I could not, and at that time, I just want to really give thanks to God, you know, for giving two precious little ones to me. And I want to see that two daughters and then acknowledge that they are the gifts of God. It's a kind of like every day when I see them, it's a celebration of what God has given to me and to my wife, Macy. So I named them. The first one, Priscilla, it's in English. But in Chinese, I put down in Chinese. Some of you folks perhaps don't know the Chinese. The Chinese, Song En, means to sing praise to God for His grace. And what does grace mean? Grace means it's something that God withhold, but that God will give us that we don't deserve. God give us that we don't deserve. We are sinners. We don't deserve eternal life. But by the grace of God, He gave that to us. And that's grace. Just like Priscilla, my oldest daughter, when I saw her, I would say, sing praise to God for God's grace. Because this is the gift that God has given to Macy and to myself. And then when we have the second daughter, I thank God again. So I name her Songci, Deborah Songci. That means to sing praise to God for God's mercy. The first one for His grace, the second one for His mercy. Mercy is, what does mercy mean? Mercy is God, you know, really withhold something that we do deserve. Because of us being a sinner, we deserve judgment. Yet God withhold that judgment on behalf of us because Jesus Christ died for us. Wow. When we went back to that 2,500 years ago, Nehemiah brought up the people and used a lot of musical instruments because they realize as they walk up the stairs, they retrace the wall, they recognize that every step, every stone that they put on were a gift from God. Especially, they only completed the wall within 52 days. It was just a miracle. Even faster than, you know, Houston construction worker. But they built it because of the grace of God, of the mercy of God. So when they walk through, they sing praise, they remember what God has done in their life. They give thanks to God. They were so happy. So, really, this is, in that way, what is our, now what? What is our application? What happens 2,500 years ago have an implication for us as well. How will you worship the Lord from now on? Do you worship the Lord or serve Him grudgingly? Do you have a heart to worship with music, with thanksgiving, with praise? In fact, worship is more than just singing. It's doing, it's being, it's involving yourself. And that's what Romans chapter 12 said, that you present yourself, your whole person, as a living sacrifice. And that is a reasonable service or reasonable worship to the Lord. And also, during this dedication ceremony, we also learn the third thing. While they are worshiping, it results in great joy. In fact, in verse 43, they say, they offer great sacrifices that day and rejoice, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. Five times in this past verse, joy, rejoice occur. along with verse 27. Altogether, six times in this passage, joy, rejoice, occur. That shows that dedication to the Lord result in joy to the Lord, in the Lord and also among us. I think you probably remember last year, August 25th, you remember it was what? It was Harvey flooding to Houston. And I show you these pictures. My daughter, my older daughter, Priscilla, and her husband, Josh, they own a one-story house in Mileland. And was completely flooded, completely destroyed, because they didn't have enough flood insurance. They couldn't recover everything. So it was completely destroyed. It was very devastating to them. And also at the time, Priscilla really was so saddened by the fact that their whole house was completely destroyed. And she complained to Macy and us and me and said, "Well, how come God did not take care of us? We were so committed to her, to the Lord." Joshua, her husband, was a teaching leader in the BSF, had a good job, and she also served as a church administrator in Access Church, which is one of our sister churches way back, and now they're independent. And then we were faithful to the Lord. How come God let this thing happen to us? Especially she was so adamant because she was married for 5 years. And she was praying to have a child and never got a child. And yet, her younger sister, Deborah, was married for only 3 years and then had a child. So she was so devastated. She was not joyful. She was not happy. And then I told her, and I said, "Yeah, I really cannot comfort you or encourage you. However, I know that God always loves you. God always has a purpose in your life, which we may not know. But look at this house, even though it's devastated. But during the time when they clean up all these junks, see how many people from your church came out to help you, to remove all the trashes, all the drywall and everything. Seeing God's love, God did not abandon you." And then I told her, "Even though I cannot help you, we can pray and see how God will lead your life." But I remind her one thing. During that time, I say, true joy should not be dependent upon your circumstances. Just look at joy, and I use an acronym. Joy means Jesus first, others second, and you last. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what God has done in your life. That is very permanent. And also ask the Lord to help you. We will stand by you every day, every moment. Well, 1 year after the flood, the house still has not been rebuilt. They just barely have enough to pay off the loan. And then they stay in a garage right now. trying to save up money in order to rebuild or to get into another apartment or whatever. However, gradually throughout this year, both Joshua and Priscilla recognized that indeed what is more important is not the house, but the Lord. And also, as a result, I tell you a good news. In 2 months, a new baby girl will be born to her. She will get a child at the end of October. And it is indeed a grace of God. They may have lost the house, but more important, they gain something even more important. It's a little child that will come to them. So in a sense, when we look at this in our life, what is more important to us? Our joy should be focused on the permanent eternal God. He will direct our path. He will give us things that will be good to us. So, now what? How do you express joy each day to those people around you in this busy or hostile world? Is your joy based on just the circumstances? Or is it based on the Lord and what, who He is and what He has done in your life? And finally, from this dedication passage, we find that dedication to the Lord bears witness or testimony to the world around you. Look at verse 43. It says, "And the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. And then the sons of the singers gathered together from the districts surrounding Jerusalem and from the villages and from all different places to come." One of the things we read this passage, they're singing, they're proceeding up the wall toward the temple in two groups. Gather all the people from around outside of Jerusalem into Jerusalem. They have a big army of testimony for the Lord. Even the singing was so loud that it was heard even far away outside Jerusalem. That was a great testimony. That was a great witness for the Lord. I think testimony is very important. And I share with you a story that I read from a book before we close. There was a pastor who was very eloquent in preaching. And he dressed very well. He was so good. He conducted his life so well within the church on Sunday that everybody liked it, except his family. Because once he stepped out from the church, from Monday to Saturday, he did not take care of his family. He scolded his children. He mistreated his wife. Was very, very poor in behavior, in character toward his family. So one day on Sunday, while he was preaching on the, and finished preaching in the pulpit, was ready to come down, he had a young son. All of a sudden, his son ran into him before the pulpit and said, "Daddy, please don't come down." And he said, "Why? You look so good up there. Stay there forever. If you come down, I will be so sad." What a story. Because this pastor is not a 24/7 pastor. he does not have a good witness. His son recognized that he was so good only on the pulpit. But once he stepped out from the pulpit, he changes into another person. Are you that way? And that's what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The dedication service during the time of Nehemiah helped the people to express themselves before the Lord and before all people. It was a good witness, a good testimony. In the same way, the Lord wants us to be like that. So now, let's narrow our time frame. Can you name one thing that you can be a witness or one to someone this coming week? Is there something you can just give to someone? Just a cup of water? Or a kind word? Or something? So that you will bear a good testimony for the Lord and for those people around you. So, this dedication ceremony during the times of Nehemiah give us four aspects about joy, about worship, about testimony, and also about purity. May the Lord help us. When we dedicate ourselves before the Lord as an individual, as a community, that we will remember the same thing. May God help us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing to us, speaking to us, that our dedication is to you and that you alone. Help us to remember that. Help us to live our life for you and for the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Elder Ben. Just as he said,